We are back on the Bengals Beat podcast. Lindsey Patterson, Tyler Dragon, Charlie Goldsmith. How you guys doing?
It's Wednesday. It's hump day. It's a little gloomy day outside, but I'm doing good. Plus, my Lakers won last night, as I said they were. Lakers in six. And the Bengals had their official OTA day one practice yesterday on Tuesday. Football, it seems like it's inching closer to being back. And not only being back, but you kind of get a sense of normalcy that's happening around the National Football League. We were at, on the practice field without masks. So it's kind of feeling kind of back to normal. And then plus watching, sporting events on TV, you see a lot of fans and you see handshaking and hugging. So it's a good time. And I see that as a country that we're getting near the end of this pandemic. So you have to feel good about that.
There are very few experiences left once you, I guess, make it out of school that feel like a first day of school. And at Bengals OTAs yesterday, there was attendance, there were people happy to be there, there was reuniting with old friends from our media side, seeing our colleagues for the first time in this part of the league year. It was just a fun day and good to see some football.
Yeah, it was good. And the biggest news of the day, and we thought it would be to be determined when you look back to January if we thought Joe Burrow was going to participate. Yeah, of course, he was going to be in attendance. He even said that when we talked to him in his media press conference. But Joe Burrow was there. He was doing the pregame stretches, he had his helmet on, and he was throwing. Were you guys surprised to see number nine out there?
I was honestly a little surprised to see him, and he did more than I expected. He went through warmups, he threw some short and some intermediate passes right in front of us. He looked engaged, talking to his teammates, talking to the coaching staff. So it was really good for him to be out there. I know we're going to talk about this later as well, but just seeing him and seeing him, go through some of the drills and, putting some weight on that left knee. I was surprised to see him out there, and there was some excitement around the team with him just being out there. Now, I got a lot of questions and people saying, okay, well, and people on Twitter kind of analyzing his practice. So if I were to analyze his first practice, and let me preface it, it's the first practice he's had in a while. I'll say this: he wasn't really driving down on his left plant leg when he's throwing, which is to be expected. He said his surgically repaired left knee is about 85%. So as his knee heals and gets stronger, I'd like to see him drive down on that lead plant leg a little bit more. That creates more throwing power. But when, his knee is fully healed, I can see that happening and him making, that adjustment. And also, when his knee is fully healed, there's going to be a mental hurdle that he'll have to overcome, which is natural for all athletes when they come back from any type of injury. He'll have to be able to trust that his knee can do everything that it did prior to injury. But overall, I'll say it was a good, productive practice for Joe Burrow. He practiced, I mean, if they were to label his practice status, it would probably been on a limited basis. But overall, it was a good, solid practice for Joe Burrow and the entire Bengals team.
No matter what happened yesterday, the story of the first Bengals OTA would have been how involved Joe Burrow was. And every step of the way, more and more, it ramped up throughout the practice how impressive he was. The first thing he did was obviously he started stretching and riding a bike. And if that's all he did, then the story would have been he's there, he's active, he's engaged with his team, and he's good enough in his rehab even to be on the practice field. That would have been a good story. After that, Joe Burrow starts throwing, and not just throwing, but throwing right in front of the media. That was impressive. He threw the ball well, and that was a big story. And then later in practice, he goes into more, I guess, formal route running with a few of the offensive starters and keeps going that way. And that was even more impressive. Joe Burrow didn't have to do anything. He honestly didn't even have to be there. And he wasn't just there. He was an active participant in practice, almost just like any other player, while there were some limitations. Joe Burrow had a great day, an impressive day. And, you know, I don't think you could feel better about what Joe Burrow did yesterday.
Yeah, I was really surprised. Obviously, he was going to try to be there. And we talked to him in the media press conference, and he said even if his knee wouldn't have been 80 to 85%, he's going to have his presence known there. He's been throwing for a while. Zach Taylor even talked about that. But I think what's funny is a little behind the scenes note here is we are only allowed to do video for a certain period of time. So for the first part, they're stretching, and then the players will go into their individual groups. And at that moment where we are, the media is right now, the quarterbacks were right in front of us. So there was plenty of video, and obviously a lot of fans were really happy to see Joe Burrow out there throwing to some of his teammates. He even said that, look, he's been throwing to these equipment managers for a while now, since April. So it was good to throw to some NFL caliber guys. But when you look at that as a whole, I think you see the full attendance, and we all did a double take that we counted. We've talked to all of them. Even Joe Burrow talked about it back in January that he wanted to be in person for OTAs. Even if he couldn't participate, he wanted to be able to see some of his wide receivers running routes and just really get familiar with them, because he's never had an in-person OTA or mini camp. Obviously they were in person for training camp, but this is a little bit different, and he's coming off an injury. I think you look at the full attendance. Yes, you can point to coaching too. The reason there is a full attendance out there, and obviously they only won about four games last year, so these guys need to get as many reps as they can. I think there was a little bit of a Joe Burrow impact yesterday when it comes to the full attendance.
I mean, that's an interesting take. I'll say that. I agree with your first point a little bit more. Obviously, OTAs are voluntary, and not many teams across the NFL had full attendance. I believe DJ Reader said it best yesterday, and I'm not quoting him, but his words were pretty much the Bengals were 4-12 last year. Now they were really 4-11-1, but we get it. And, you know, he was just trying to say that this team has a lot of work to do. They have to play catch up. Let's be honest. Every team in the AFC North had double digit wins last year, and the Bengals have 6 wins in 2 years. So, I mean, the proof is right there that they definitely have work to do. The good thing is that they know it. And these other teams in the division, they've had some success recently, and the Bengals haven't in a while. So they have to catch these other teams and be able to compete, and compete sooner rather than later. So I think having full attendance is more about knowing where this team is compared to the other teams, not only in the division, but the National Football League. The Bengals want to be competitive. They want to win more than they have over the last several seasons. So that, when having full attendance at OTAs, that's showing a commitment to success and wanting and striving to get better and to be a better ball club.
And I mean, what the Bengals did yesterday is going to help them in September. That's what I asked Zach Taylor. What happens today that helps you win in September? And it's things as simple as Riley Reiff hearing Joe Burrow's cadence for the first time. Think of the flip side. I read today about Green Bay that not only is Aaron Rodgers not there, but most of the top receivers are not there. And if you're Jordan Love, what can you really accomplish throwing to guys who you're not going to be working with during the regular season, working with a group of summer in, summer out, the message that sends about the overall team? Obviously, the Bengals aren't Green Bay, but that's the other side of the spectrum. And you can see maybe some of the concerns that that creates. The Bengals probably don't have the same well-built roster at full strength that the Green Bay Packers do right now, but some of this other stuff can help. There can really be a difference just even from something as simple as everybody showing up.
Yeah, and I'm not going to take off, oh, the only reason they're there is because Joe Burrow is the quarterback of this team, but I'm just saying that obviously they all went there. They know they had some work to do. They know they won four games last year. I'm just saying that Joe Burrow effect is a real thing too, that there can be two different things of obviously you want to work on things, but also have a quarterback who is, this guy's showing up, this guy's getting reps and he's obviously not going full. He's 80 to 85%. That can still be a difference maker too. When you have Joe Burrow in the room, when it comes to this team. But going back to when you think about training camp, when you think about preseason, Joe says he hopes to be full for training camp. He didn't rule out preseason. Zach kind of smirked and said, hey, that feels like a long ways away when you make a decision on Joe Burrow needing to be out there. I said it before and I'll say it again. Joe Burrow showed last year in his first game against the Chargers that he doesn't even need preseason. And yes, you can say that he's got some rust to knock off because he's coming off this injury and everything like that. But if I'm the Cincinnati Bengals, he's not playing one rep or one snap when it comes to the preseason. I'm putting him on the sidelines. He can make the trip. He can chill on the beach when they're playing Tampa, but there's no reason that he should play in a preseason game.
So let me do the Joe Burrow timeline again. I will say I definitely agree he should not play in the preseason. But as of today, Joe Burrow is 25 weeks post-operation. So the prognosis for his injury is 9 to 12 months. He'll be 9 months on August 11th. The first preseason game is on August 14th. So he'll be a little bit past that 9 month mark. And that's at the early end of the spectrum when it comes to Joe Burrow's rehab and recovery process. So you could already rule out the August 14th preseason game at Tampa Bay. And then they play the Washington football team a week later on August 20th. That's, you know, still in that 9 month range. And then obviously the last preseason game is August 29th at Paul Brown Stadium versus the Dolphins. I don't foresee the Bengals trotting Joe Burrow out there at any point in the preseason. I don't think it makes much sense. You want to be able to protect him. When the Bengals do open up the season in week one, he'll be at 10 months removed from surgery. So that's, you know, right there in that sweet spot between 9 to 12 months in his injury prognosis. So that's why week one feels more and more likely like a formality that he is going to be out there, because that's a really good cautious approach and it gives him a little bit more time. Now, it's not at the early end of the recovery timeline. It's, you know, kind of smack dab in the middle. So that's why everybody has been saying, you know, week one, it will probably be the first time he'll be out there taking hits, running and doing, you know, full go. Now, he did say yesterday, which is interesting, that he hopes to be full go by training camp. That's certainly possible, but I don't see the Bengals putting him out there in the preseason and having him, you know, re-aggravate his surgically repaired knee or, you know, getting injured again somehow during meaningless games.
So at this point, we don't know whether or not Joe Burrow will or will not play in the preseason. And the fact that we do or even don't know is remarkable. The fact that Joe Burrow even left that door open, think about what that says about his recovery process. Recently, we were talking, having the same conversation about whether or not Joe Burrow would be ready for week one. While the timeline lined up like that, there was no guarantee. There was certainly a possibility that Brandon Allen could start a game or two for the Cincinnati Bengals this season. When Joe Burrow hurt his ACL last season and Brandon Allen closed the season strong, that was the conversation we were having. Has Brandon Allen earned the backup quarterback role? Because that's a very important spot considering a question mark around Joe Burrow. The fact that we have gone from there to where we are now, where we're even in position to answer the question whether or not Joe Burrow will play in the preseason, is just a testament to how quickly and how aggressively Joe Burrow has attacked this recovery just incredibly impressive.
Yeah, and that just kind of goes back to what we thought of him participating in the first OTAs. I think if we would have looked back just a couple months ago, obviously everything was going well. Surgery was a success, but you always hear that with players after surgery. Everything went well. With him to even just be out there with the helmet on and throwing, and the conversation of preseason hasn't been ruled out for Joe Burrow. And look, this guy's just different. I wouldn't be surprised if he's ready for preseason, but I don't think he needs to play another preseason. Not another. He never needs to play in the preseason ever again, because he's proved he really doesn't need it. I want to go back to the other notable OTA guys who returned, because I feel like yesterday was so focused on Joe Burrow. And of course it's going to be, because he's the quarterback of the team. I joked on Twitter today, and I feel like he's the biggest star athlete in Cincinnati at the moment. But there were a lot of injured guys that were on the field yesterday, and I think it's pretty impressive. Joe Mixon was full go. CJ Uzomah, too, his turnaround time for the Achilles injury is a pretty long, it's a recovery time, and he was back out there participating. You get Trey Hopkins, DJ Reader on the rehab field, and it's just crazy to think that Trey tore his ACL back in January. To be determined on if he's going to be there week one, but just to see him on the rehab field is really telling and notable when it comes to day one of the OTAs too.
Yeah. I talked to Trey Hopkins this offseason. He said that, you know, his rehab is going really well. He's ahead of schedule too. But as you said, they had full attendance. Everybody who was injured last year, end of the year, injury reserve was there. Trey Waynes was there. That was the first time I have seen Trey Waynes practice, because he suffered that pectoral injury before we got to actually witness practice last year. DJ Reader was out there in the rehab field. Rennell Wren, the defensive tackle who suffered a gruesome quadriceps injury, he was there. So it was a good message to send, not only to the coaching staff, the entire team, to the fan base, but to all the NFL, to have a team that knows they have work to do, to have full attendance on day one, and even all the injured guys. Because again, OTAs are voluntary. This isn't mandatory mini camp where you get a fine if you don't show up. All these players came back to Cincinnati to participate in voluntary OTAs, including the players that are not 100% and still working out on the rehab field. And that's, like Charlie said, that's a testament to, you know, not only the coaching staff, but this team's overall mindset, and just knowing that they have a lot of work to do, and they are committed to turning this thing around and, you know, expediting this rebuild process and trying to become a winning football club.
And aside from Joe Burrow, I do think the biggest story yesterday was how Trey Waynes and Joe Mixon looked. When you look at how the front office has allocated its resources, Joe Mixon and Trey Waynes are three of the, what, six most important players on the Bengals. To have them out there and not only participating, but participating just like someone who was healthy at the end of last season, to be full go in the way they were, you know, those are two crucial players for the Bengals this year. The front office sent us that message with the contracts they extended them last season. They're important players, and to have them out in the fold immediately coming off injuries that either shortened or ended their seasons is a big development.
Going forward, to be determined on what that looks like when it comes to participants in training camp. And like I said, we'll keep you updated on everything Joe Burrow. You can hear from him yesterday in the press conference. I'll have it at the end of this podcast. Also, head coach Zach Taylor will be back at OTAs next week. They are this week, but they're close to the media. We'll have as many updates as we can over on Cincinnati.com. But before we get what's up there, what are your questions of the week, Tyler?
So I have two questions of the week this week. My first one is ironically Joe Burrow related. Pro Football Focus had Joe Burrow as the 18th ranked quarterback in the NFL heading into this season. Now, we've talked about this before, but now that all of us saw Joe Burrow practice limitedly on a first time yesterday after seeing him on Tuesday. Do you think Pro Football Focus should have him maybe in the top 10, in the top 15, or top 20?
Right now, I hate quarterback rankings. I hate ranking the guys in the AFC North. It's just not even fair because you only had a certain amount of games with Joe Burrow right now in his rookie year. And I almost feel like it's like an asterisk right now until he finishes a full season. Just like I said about the Trevor Lawrence comparison, I need to see these guys one full season in the NFL before I really start ranking them. But we're never going to stop doing it. It's a comparison game and we're always going to see it out there. I think right now, when I think about Joe Burrow and the other quarterbacks in the NFL, I'd put him right around top 15 or maybe like just a little outside of it. I mean, it's just, I don't think you can truly rank the quarterback or Joe Burrow even in his division alone until he gets a full season. And that's just me personally.
No, Lindsay answered the question.
I did. Good job. I did.
I'm so proud of you.
I feel like I've said before, I'm on a moratorium of ranking Joe Burrow. The only thing I learned yesterday was that in like specific pocket precision passing drills, Joe Burrow has probably better accuracy than Brandon Allen and Dungy and Shermer. I think that's the only on-field takeaway from yesterday. I think that's nothing that impacts his rank in the league. I think that Joe Burrow is one of the best number one picks at quarterback over the last 10 years. But I'm going to say until week two, I'm on a moratorium of ranking Joe Burrow among other quarterbacks. But on September 17th or whatever it is, Tyler, I will answer the question of the week and give you a definitive number for where Joe Burrow ranks.
Charlie does not have a question. Oh, my goodness. You two are hilarious.
It's hard, man. It's hard to rank a quarterback. It's really hard, even in his division alone. I would say right now, the only thing I can confirm or I would say is Ben Roethlisberger is the last quarterback in their division right now. And I feel confident saying that. I feel very confident saying that. I said it this week. I think if Joe Burrow plays a full season, the Bengals don't finish last in their division. I will say this on this podcast. I didn't put it out there on social media.
So who finishes last?
The Pittsburgh Steelers. That's who I have last right now. I don't think it's out. I don't think it's out of question to say the Bengals, if Joe Burrow plays a full season, that they have more wins than the Steelers this year. Yes, everybody wants to point to the Pittsburgh Steelers defense and all of that fun stuff. The way Ben played last year, it's great for the AFC North. If you're the other teams, you're thrilled the quarterback came back to the Pittsburgh Steelers. So right now, I would say it's May. It's not even camp yet. It's not even September. I'm not ranking the divisions, but I say it's not crazy to think that the Bengals could have more wins than the Pittsburgh Steelers if Joe Burrow plays a full season. I said it.
I like that you said it, Lindsay. I'm so proud of you. I still got work on Charlotte a little bit to say, you know, just go out and say things, but that's fine. So
here's where I'm at, just real quick. The Bengals, I think the Bengals are as good as the Steelers. I think that the Bengals need to have a better season than the Steelers for this season to feel like a success in terms of how they've invested in the team, in terms of what, in terms of the overall offense they built specifically and what's at stake this season for people in the organization like Zach Taylor. It is crucial that the Bengals are better than the Steelers this season.
That's
so
it.
So you have the Steelers as the worst team in the division as well, Charlie?
Right now, I probably have the Bengals 3 and the Steelers 4, but I mean, it's an argument. It's an argument for sure. But again, the Bengals need to be better than the Steelers this season.
I like the way Charlie put it.
Feel the way they want to feel about the team.
Okay. Well, I do have Joe Burrow ranked as a top 15 quarterback. I think he is in that 15 range. Pro Football Focus had him 18. I think that's agree with that ranking, but I can get why they have him ranked 18th. Now, as far as, you know, if the Bengals are better than the Steelers at this point, that is a tough question to answer. And that's not even the question I posed.
I know.
Since we're on the topic, you know,
I'm not doing it. I'm not ranking the division.
If they mesh well and Joe Burrow has a healthy season, I do think that they can be competitive with the Steelers. And that 3-4 in the division, it will be, you know, a tight race for last. But I do think there is a little bit of a gap between, you know, the Browns and the Ravens. There's a, and then there's a gap with the Steelers and the Bengals. So they have to play catch up with that. And even though the Steelers were one of those teams that won 12 games last year, I think their window is closing. They lost some defensive pieces and their offensive line. They lost a lot of talent up front. So they have some work to do. So, yes, I think the Bengals can be third in the division and, you know, supplant the Steelers. But we'll see. It's only May, like we have both said multiple times. So that was question one and 1A of the week. My second question is more of a fun kind of football related, but it's inspired off the Bengals having full attendance at OTAs on the first day. So when did you two in school? No, then I asked this question wrong. So the Bengals had full attendance at OTAs. My question to you two is, when you two were in school, did you ever have a year of full attendance? Now you can count from, you can go from either elementary school, junior high school, or college. Did you ever have a year of full attendance?
I will say not in college. I definitely didn't. I obviously did enough to graduate, but I mean, you could skip school and still get your work done and be just fine. You're paying for it. So that's not, that was on me for not going every day, but I was definitely a student that went to school. I rarely use my sick days. Maybe my senior year, I started to use more of them, but I went to school. I didn't really like to miss.
Did you have a year of full attendance though?
Oh, definitely. Probably in elementary school where you could get an award for having perfect attendance. I'm sure it's at my parents' house right now.
Okay.
I really liked school and I was probably perfect attendance a good majority of the time.
Least surprising thing ever. Charlie had perfect attendance every single time.
Wow. I am very surprised, but props to you two for having at least 1 year of full attendance. I probably never had a year of full attendance. So I'll just say that.
It's okay. I have a question of the week though.
Okay. Go ahead.
I saw this on social media and it's one of those, it's really a softball question, but I thought about it and I'll ask you guys because I already know my answer. I put it out there. If you could change and if you woke up tomorrow and you're the commissioner of the NFL, you get to change one thing in the NFL right now. What are you changing? I'm going to go first because it's already out there. I said overtime. I think there should be a winner. I don't like ties. I know you can have ties in soccer and nothing against soccer, but I just think there should be a winner. I like college football style overtime. I think that's the way to go. I don't like the NFL overtime.
Dang, you stole my answer. I want the NFL to adopt college football's overtime rules. But you can modify it a little bit. Each team gets the ball on the 30-yard line, and you got to keep on scoring back and forth. If they both teams score a touchdown on their first possession, then you got to go for two. On the second one, if you score a touchdown. I think that makes for exciting football. You have the football to start right outside the red zone, and you got to try to score. I think that would make for some exciting football. But since that was your answer, I will also go with, I think the Pro Bowl needs to change. The Pro Bowl is probably the worst all-star game in professional sports right now. I mean, you have the MLB all-star game. People like to watch that. The home run derby goes with it. The NBA all-star game is pretty much a weekend of festivities, the three-point shootout, the dunk contest. Then the all-star game is fun. The NFL Pro Bowl, it's not, people don't really, it's not really fan friendly, I guess. And it's not really an exciting game. Maybe make it like a skills competition. I would pay to see that all the fastest guys in NFL run 100 meters and see who's really the fastest guy, or all the fastest guys in NFL run 40s, then the strongest guys do a bench press competition, a squat competition, see quarterbacks who can throw the furthest, have, you know, Josh Allen out there, Patrick Mahomes, you know, Aaron Rodgers. Like, people I know would watch that. See the cornerbacks do, you know, the cone drill, shuttle drill, see who does that the fastest. I'm almost positive people would watch that, and it would get high ratings and higher than what the Pro Bowl gets. I mean, the Pro Bowl gets, you know, fair ratings because everybody loves football, but it's not really a fun game to watch. So that would be my second change.
My priorities, I guess, are a little different, less game specific and more league specific. The most important thing to me in professional sports is that athletes are paid what they're worth at the time of the contract, or excuse me, at the time that they are in, not necessarily the time the contract was signed. I think it's kind of devastating to the league, the cap casualties we see because of how easy it is to replace someone with a cheap undrafted free agent. So what I would do is something similar to what the NBA does to make sure that veterans are adequately paid and adequately valued for the legitimate contributions they made on the field. What the NBA does is they have a higher minimum salary for veteran players, and it ascends the older you get, but against the cap, it has the same hit across the cap, no matter how much experience you have. So if you're a first year player, say you make $1 million, if you're a 10-year player, the minimum salary is, say, $3.5 million, but that player only counts against $1 million against the cap. What that does is improve the quality of play overall, with more experienced veterans being valued and signed and brought in specifically because they don't count as much against the cap, and you get more bang for your production. And you see them being, again, valued in that way instead of almost neglected in how they are now in the cap system, where the best thing you can do for your cap sheet right now would be to cut a good player. I want the best thing you could do for your cap sheet would be to add an experienced veteran player.
Whoa. Every vet wants you as commissioner tomorrow, Charlie.
Goodness. It just makes better football.
I do think, to Charlie's point, the NBA and the NFL, I would love them to have Major League Baseball and not have a salary cap. Now, that would make for some some intriguing contracts. Could you imagine? I mean, we already see, like, what Patrick Mahomes makes, but, you know, some of these players, what they could make if they didn't have a salary cap. Even in the NBA, Steph Curry, LeBron, like Kevin Durant, like all the top players, they didn't have a salary cap. They would, it will be some astronomical numbers in the NBA and even the NFL if there wasn't a salary cap.
Well, I think the NBA and the NFL are very, very different. The NBA has a max salary. The NFL doesn't. So you still, and we are starting to see the percentage of the cap that these star quarterbacks take increase into astronomical figures. And I think 10 years from now, the next Patrick Mahomes will make an even greater percentage of the cap than Patrick Mahomes is making now. In the NBA, it's kind of deflated from the other way, to where you'll spend more on your cap on very good players percentage-wise than you will great players. And the best players end up being probably the biggest bargains in the league. I don't think we're going to quite get there in the NFL with the current system.
See, I kind of want, and I know, Tyler, you're a Dodgers guy, but I kind of want Major League Baseball to have more of a set system like that, because you look at lower market teams in Cincinnati, smaller markets compared to some of these big cities who can just spend tons and tons and tons of money and buy themselves a ring when it's just not fair to other markets. So I don't want the NFL to go that route.
You just want the Reds to win a World Series. We know.
No, it's not fair. I don't think it's fair that the Dodgers can just spend all the money on these guys. I don't like it.
If you got it, you got to spend it.
I know, but it's not fair to everyone.
The secret is they do got it, and there are spending it in every sport, like the NBA included. Like, the Knicks and Lakers have huge advantages because of the TV revenue they get.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, man.
But they still do have a salary cap. I mean, LeBron would be a billion-dollar athlete. Well, he is a bill, but his contract would be about 10 years, $1 billion. what he's worth. Even Steph Curry, Kevin Durant can make that same argument. Their contracts would be even way bigger than they are now if there wasn't a salary gap.
LeBron is making more money on endorsements. He doesn't need any more money in the NBA. He's doing just fine. Tom Brady could say the same thing. He's actually even said that he makes so much money on his endorsements that it doesn't even compare to what he makes in the NFL.
But, yeah, and that is true. If there wasn't a salary cap, they will make more for what they do on the court and on the field than they do in endorsements, though.
I did not expect us to go salary cap route at this point, but we learned a lot how money works. And now we know what everybody would do if they were commissioner of the NFL. We're not going to be, I don't know, maybe you guys will be. I'm definitely not going that route.
But, no, thank you.
You know, that sounds
Charlie,
like
you might.
Charlie, I don't know, man. I think he could handle it. So to be determined on what happens there. Like I mentioned, OTAs week two next week. The Bengals will continue at Paul Brown Stadium. It's closed to the media this week, but we'll be back with live update. All the Joe Burrow content you want is up on Cincinnati.com. But what else is up there, guys?
Yeah, like you said, all the Joe Burrow content you can ask for. I did a story on him yesterday, from everything he said to his, you know, recovery timeline to what he was actually wearing. So if you have any questions about Joe Burrow, how he looked, you know, what his process is, where he's at, we covered it in a podcast. It's also on Cincinnati.com. And I have a story on the Bengals having full attendance yesterday and how it was good for, you know, just the culture and everything that they're trying to improve in Cincinnati and the Bengals. So keep it locked on Cincinnati.com. I'll have a story coming up later this week too, which I'm not going to reveal in the podcast. Okay. So you can go on Cincinnati.com to check it out.
I have a story this week on three undrafted free agents to watch during OTAs this season. I've been asked a lot of questions about Puka Williams, and I will be answering those in this story. Also, if you haven't seen this piece I wrote on the Reds, I spoke with Jesse Winker about his evolution as a power hitter the afternoon before he hit three homers and kind of elevated himself into the early MVP conversation. So it was a very fun conversation with Jesse.
Jesse Winker, Joe Burrow, two of the biggest stars in Cincinnati sports right now. Check it out, Cincinnati.com. And next, I do have a BBP extra. This time I'm adding a little bit of the Joe Burrow press conference, not the whole thing, but just a chunk of it I think fans will enjoy. Make sure you stay with Cincinnati.com, over on the Instagram, E&Q Bengals, and on Twitter, E&Q Sports. Thank you for listening to the Bengals Beat Podcast.
You did one of these Zoom interviews. You told us that your knee was 15%. I believe that was in January. Can you give us a percentage now?
Probably 80-85% now. You know, we had some strength tests done, and you know, all that showed 80-85% compared to the right leg. So we're on pace. We're really good. We're looking really good. Just got to keep strengthening. At this point, there's not a lot of things that I can't do. It's just getting it stronger.
Have you tested a lot of knee braces, Joe? And how comfortable are you in the one that you're wearing today?
We're testing them out. You know, they're not my favorite thing in the world, but, you know, it comes with the territory. So we'll find one that is the lesser of all evils.
Was it like riding a bike today, throwing the ball to Ja'Marr Chase?
Yep. It was a little rusty at first, but we got it back, stayed off practice a little bit, got some extra ones, but yeah, we got it back pretty quick.
At a practice like this, is there a part of it that's important for you that, or that you really enjoy doing?
Just back throwing with the guys. You know, I've been throwing to the equipment managers standing on the field for, you know, the last couple months. So good to throw to some NFL caliber players, not the equipment guys.
Joe, what's been the biggest challenge of this process of getting back and getting right and trying to reach your goal of playing week one?
Just knowing in my head that I can't push it too hard. You know, I'm a guy that likes to push the limits and work hard and go above and beyond, but you know, I couldn't do that with a knee. So just doing what the doctors tell me to do, not doing anything too fast, being cautious, but you know, we're out of the hardest part and you know, now the fun part begins.
As far as increasing velocity, how do you go about that with a knee injury? What are some of the exercises that you did or just routines that you did to do so?
Well, you know, it all starts with my hips. My hips got a lot stronger just by doing the rehab. It's a lot of glute, hip flexor, hip work to help strengthen the knee and keeping the knee out of, you know, compromised positions. And that by doing that, it really helped a lot.
How much do you weigh now, Joe, compared to this, you know, to May 25th, 2020? How much do you weigh now?
Probably about the same. Still looking to put on a couple more pounds before the season. I always lose a bit during the year because it's so long, but so we're still working on putting on muscle, gaining probably 5 or 10 more pounds to be ready to go.
During the rehab process, there's boxes to check. This was a significant box. I mean, you know, your first workout on the field with your teammates, and you checked it off. How's it feel, you know, after practice? You're going to ice down and all that good stuff?
Yeah, it feels good. You know, we've been doing basically what I did out there today. We've been doing it for the last month. So it wasn't anything new. It was just with moving targets out there. So it wasn't any big step or anything like that. It was just fun to be back out there.
So you were back out there in April throwing, Joe. Did you have you during this process surprised yourself at all with how quickly you've gotten back and gotten back to throwing?
I wouldn't say I surprised myself. I just have a great team around me that worked really hard for me as well as myself working hard. And, you know, I had great Nick Cosgrove, our PT has been awesome for me in here every day working hard. So, you know, we got it to a good place right now. It's got to keep pushing.
What led you to Dr. Eletrash, and what have you liked about the relationship you built with him?
You know, I had some friends that had some surgeries out there with him. My agent has a good relationship with him, and, you know, he's one of the best. So, you know, went out there, got that done, and there's been no issues. He's been awesome. You know, takes my calls whenever I need him, checks in all the time. So he's been great. Happy to work with him and continuing to work with him as well.
What were your thoughts when they drafted Chase, and what does he bring to the table for this offense?
You know, I was excited. Obviously, me and Jamar have a good rapport, good friends, good teammates. I think he's going to bring some explosiveness to our offense. He's tough to tackle. You get the ball in his hands, and he's a big, strong receiver that, you know, corners are going to have a tough time tackling him, and then he can take the top off the defense. So we have some great receivers, great weapons that are at our disposal, and he's got to utilize them properly.
Joe, have you reached the stage of rehab where you can't necessarily overdo it, or is it still a balance? You mentioned 80 to 85% and getting it stronger. Is it just all systems going pushing, or do you still have to be patient?
Still got to be patient. You know, you can't push too hard. It's basically, at this point, it's just how it feels. You know, there's still good days and bad days. It's still sore some days, and so you'll take it a little easy, and then some days it feels really good, and you'll push it really hard. But, you know, we have a good plan. Like I said, I have a good team around me that is helping me with that.
Could you sense that your teammates were really excited that you were an active participant at the first OTA practice?
I didn't get any sense for it, but I sure hope they were. You know, I was excited to be an active participant myself and be around everybody. So I hope they were.
Joe, sorry if you got asked this a little earlier, but did you feel like it was important for you, kind of as you grow into being a leader, to be involved in this OTA in some capacity?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I didn't want to just not show up and do my own thing. You know, I'm at the point where I can, even if I wasn't able to do everything, if my knee was less than what it is now, I would still want to be here and be around everybody and communicate and call plays in the huddle. Because we have a lot of new faces on this team that need to see me there and see me working. So it was really important for me to be here.
What was your reaction to the full house? What was your, you know, reaction to, I think, everybody being here?
As far as all the players?
Yeah. I mean, attendance. What was your reaction to the attendance?
Yeah, I mean, that's what we decided to do as a team. And I think that shows the rapport that everybody has with each other. We decided as a team that we were going to come and put the work in. And so everyone showed up. You know, that's great. I think that bodes well for the season.
Joe, I know the journey's not over, but the coming back and playing again, full go. But from the injury to now, what's the biggest thing you've kind of took away or learned from this process?
You know, I don't know if there's anything that I took away. It's just more adversity that I've had in my career. I've had a lot of it that, you know, I've overcome. And a lot has to do with the people around me, my family, and my trainers and coaches and teammates. So, I've been blessed with great people around me for many, many years that have helped me through all the adversities that, you know, have been put in front of me.
What's the next milestone or the next hurdle to clear for you?
You know, at this point, I'm doing everything. The next one is just to get cleared for football activities and contact. That'll be around 9 months or about 6 months and a week right now. So the next one will be, and hopefully I'll be, you know, I should be going full go in camp. And that's my goal. Maybe a little limited, but I hope not. And then after that, the next one is to be cleared to play.
Joe, I know you said at one point you didn't want to play or bother with the preseason. Has that changed as you felt better, or is that still the way you feel that preseason isn't really something you have a whole lot of interest in?
I definitely wouldn't say I didn't want to. I definitely want to play. I just don't know if it's the best thing for my knee. Maybe, hopefully I can get, you know, a couple series in there to shake the rust off before game one. We'll see, talk that over with the coaching staff and ownership and our physical therapist and our trainers. So that'll be a discussion at a later date.
I know you talked about Jamar already, but is it kind of wild seeing the other LSU guys coming up here now with Tyler and Thaddeus too?
Yeah, I got a lot of guys on the team that I played with, a bunch of Ohio State guys I was on the team with, and then, you know, we just keep adding LSU guys. So it's fun to see familiar faces for sure.
Shelvin, there's a great picture of Shelvin lifting you up after one of the games. What's it like to be on the same side of the ball with him? He looks to be a rather impressive built man.
Yeah, he's a big guy. He looks like an NFL nose tackle, that's for sure. We're excited to have him. He's going to be a good player for us. Excited to see what he can do in camp when we put the pads on, for sure.
Joe, throughout the rehab process, I know it's still fairly early, or I guess we're in the middle of it, but what's been the toughest thing that you've kind of had to deal with and kind of process throughout this whole deal so far?
Taking it cautious, not being able to push the whole time. And, you know, there was quite a bit of pain at the beginning that limited what I could do, which was I had never really experienced before. All the injuries that I had to, you know, push the physical therapist to, you know, move me along faster. And, you know, this one was, I couldn't have moved faster if I wanted to. So that was tough for me, but, you know, we're in a good place now.
Where would you say your mechanics are, Joe? And did the rehab process almost help them in a way?
Yeah, you know, right now when I get my feet set, I'm throwing it better than I ever have before. It's at this point, it's just, you know, the movement, throwing off platform, throwing, you know, with stuff in my face. That I'm going to have to keep working on. It doesn't quite feel where it was or where it needs to be yet, but that'll be the next step in my recovery.
Joe, during the offseason communication with the coaches, usually there's an offensive evolves, gets tweaks or whatever. Are you excited about that process from year to one, year to year two, some tweaks and changes in the offense?
I am, yeah. I think, you know, Frank Pollock's going to do great things for us. Yeah, he was definitely a voice that you could hear at practice today. It was fun. He's a fun guy to be around, fun guy to be coached by. So I'm excited about him.
Two more minutes.
Can you?
A lot of great quarterbacks have come back from torn ACLs, Joe. Have you talked to any of them, and has anybody been helpful in this process?
No, I haven't really talked to any of them. You know, my buddy Nick Bosa is going through the same thing right now. He tore his week two last year, so. You know, we were in California together at the same time, so I was able to hang out with him a little bit. And then I hung out with Andrew Whitworth a little bit in California as well when he was rehabbing his, I think he tore his PCL or something like that. But it was fun to be around him, fun to be around Nick, and those guys helped me get through it.
Joe, can you feel just kind of the, I don't know if buzz is the right word, but kind of the sense around City and Bengals fans just kind of cheering for your recovery to get back week one? Can you feel that even without, you know, games and being out in the city?
You can. You can. And it's not just about me. It's about where we're going as a team, the things that Zach is doing at the top. And, you know, we're in a good place right now. We just have to show it on the field this year. And I think we will. I think everyone's putting the work in to do that. We have all the right people in the building. We just have to execute on the field and get those wins.
So many new faces. Is there anything you've done to reach out to these guys? Dinners, hosting guys? I mean, have you done anything to get close to these guys?
Yeah, you know, I've reached out to most of them. And you know, today was the first day we've met face to face. A lot of guys are just getting into town. So it's fun to see everybody, fun to see all the new faces that are going to help us win football games.
One last question.
Joe, there was plenty of talk this offseason about the offensive line. What would you say to those fans that are worried about the guys in front of you keeping you upright in 2021?
We've got the right guys. We've got the guys that are going to put in the work to get better. Everyone knows that we have to get better up front, outside, me, defense. You know, we won 4 games. So everyone knows that they have to put the work in to enhance their play, myself included. So I'm happy with the work that everyone's put in so far, and we got the right kind of guys that are going to continue to do that.
All right, Joe, we'll let you go. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, guys.